Like Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. December is the time of year when holiday concerts abound, from big community sings of Handel's Messiah to holiday pops concerts to chamber music and school concerts. The season is awash in song.
Cellist and On That Note contributor Robert Cohn's experience of this month is no exception. He's just back from a series of chamber concerts across Europe and told Lake Effect's Bonnie North that the venues, houses of worship in particular, are what makes these concerts special.
There's something very special about playing in a church as opposed to the normal concert hall or a kind of, you know, those sort of very large rooms that are used, or gymnasiums or things that are converted conference facilities. Church just has a very different feeling. If only because it's usually freezing cold at this time of the day.
Because they're all stone. Yeah.
They are.
Well, I was thinking acoustically, they're made to have sound go from one end to the other because ostensibly the parishioners way in the back need to hear what's happening up front just as well as the people up front do. So they tend to be very bright acoustically. There's a lot of reverb in
most
of those churches.
There's a long echo sometimes.
Yeah. Is that playing classical music, you know, where you're not used to that kind of delay?
Well, in this case, I've been playing chamber music with groups like from 4 to 6 people. And it is complicated because the sound goes on so long and your sound mixes up with other people. So you have to work really carefully to make the kind of sound that is very, very clear. I suppose like somebody speaking in a church would have to speak with plenty of spaces and at a really slow tempo so that the people far away are not going to get confused once the sound has bounced around. So you have to be very careful between you when you're playing. And also the bright sounds, like the violins, for instance, the sound carries incredibly quickly, those high pitches. And the bass sounds, they can be reflected off the stone underneath you. And that can sometimes make them colder and less warm than you would like if you had a wooden platform, for instance. So the cold stone sometimes makes the bass kind of feel shallow. And then, of course, when you're playing a bass instrument like a cello, you have to try to compensate. You have to warm up your sound as much as you can with every note, and you have to give off these sort of deep, deep sounds, even when you're playing softly.
What about vibrato, though? Would that muddy the sound in a church? Would it add to that already bouncing around reverby sound and make it even more so?
Well, I think you do have to be careful with anything like that. And I think also you have to be very careful with the way that you start notes and finish notes. You have to take a lot more care because of the acoustic and because of the materials around you. And there are even silly details that make life difficult for a cellist. With this stone floor, I mean, you have your end pin, which is normally just sticks in a tiny hole, or you make a hole in the wood, for instance. Well, you just can't do that. So you have gadgets on the floor and things. You're looking for a crack in the stone somehow, and you're hoping it's not going to slide in the middle of a performance. So there are big challenges about, you know, just playing the instrument at all. But somehow that feeling between the musicians becomes very, very special because you have to be so unified within this environment, with this atmosphere. And very often, I mean, just the other day, we start playing, and for the first sort of 15 minutes, you're still freezing cold. And that's because the wooden instrument, if it is really, really cold, even when you are warming up as you play and your fingers are moving fast, your body sort of warms up. But the heat goes almost immediately out of your fingers straight into the instrument. It's like the instrument is like a heat sink. So you're warm until you play. So as you're playing, you're actually cooling down as opposed to warming up like you would normally do. And so that first 20 minutes when the instrument's cold, all your heat is, you know, the little heat you can manage to generate
is getting funneled into, yeah.
Exactly. So then, you know, that's another challenge. But, you know, we all somehow managed to get over all these sort of problems. And in the meantime, the atmosphere is definitely something very special. I think it's really different from the audience's point of view. They're sitting on wooden pews, probably very uncomfortably. You know, they don't have the seats laid out nicely so they can see everything. So they're probably having to listen more than they're watching. And they're listening.
Yeah, lighting usually isn't terribly good. It's not like you have a whole array of theater lights pointing down at you.
Absolutely
it's
true.
Usually just whatever there. You know, yeah. to light the priest.
And also yeah. when people arrive, you know, there's nothing there usually. You know, it's not like a concert hall where there's a bar or something like that. Or, you know, it's just us, the musicians, the audience in this amazing space and this, if you like, in a church of music. And that spiritual feeling maybe that's going on, that music is so perfect, doesn't require words, it communicates so beautifully. There's that kind of silence. There's a kind of respect, I think, that people have in religious venues.
You know, that's interesting. I think you're right. I think coming into a concert hall, it's another public space. But whether you believe in the particular religion of a church or a temple or whatever it is, you tend to go into it with respect.
Yes.
And a certain reserve, and to say, you know, I don't want to somehow desecrate this space.
And probably whisper as well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah.
Rather than speak aloud. And from what I hear with from friends and family who've been to the concerts I've just done recently, they said that the feeling in the audience is very much more that people are together for this occasion, whereas in a normal concert hall, it's a kind of set of people who have no connection. They're anonymous. They don't know each other. They're not very likely to talk, whereas somehow in the church, they do, and they talk about things in the interval, and they're together, and they mingle. And so that clearly makes a difference to the audience's feeling, that kind of sense of community within the church and with the music and with the musicians. Oh, yes, and the other thing is sometimes you have to walk down the aisle, as the musicians have to walk down the aisle to where they're going to play. And I think that also is something unusual, isn't it?
It's almost like a processional.
Yes.
Yeah, you process your instruments in.
And you kind of walk right past your audience, as opposed to come in off the side of the stage through a curtain and have nothing to do with the people who are listening. So it's all of these things that bring a kind of sense of closeness with the musicians and the audience, and the special sense of making sound within this kind of extraordinary place, an extraordinary space. And usually that's very, very high, isn't it? So you've got to imagine the sound going up and up and up and up. So maybe there's a sort of heavenly element in that as well. But certainly it's been really fabulous this last couple of weeks playing in different churches and with the musicians, some of whom I've not met before and have not played with before, and had a real sense of closeness with those and getting to know them. And maybe it really does help doing that in a church.
And it also, I think, it's the time of year. It's dark, at least in Europe and here. You know, the amount of light is very short. You know, we have not yet hit the solstice where it's going to start getting a little lighter longer or stay lighter longer. And it's the time of year when we're all kind of feeling very, in some ways, reclusive. Mm. I mean, if we were bears, we'd be hibernating.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, when you look at the audience, they're all in their coats and their scarves and probably hats
up
on as well. And you think, well, they're really prepared to do this. They're prepared to listen in this, you know, freezing situation to music. And it just shows really the power, again, the power of music and what it does and how it heals people and how it brings a sense of occasion and how it is life enhancing. And maybe we need all of that now as we get to the end of the year.
It allows us to kind of, as you say, be in communion with each other in a way that we might.
And that is actually what I think music is all about. It's about bringing people together in a way that you can't do through words, through other actions, but just through this amazing medium. And it astonishes me from day to day.
Me too. But I still love the fact that we try to talk about it.
Oh, yes.
We try to put words to something that really doesn't have words. But as always, Robert, it is such a pleasure. Happy end of 2016. I look forward to 2017 and whatever conversations we'll have. And maybe we'll get you back in the studio to perform a little more on the next trip through.
That would be lovely.
And in the meantime, you know, best to you and yours. And here's to a good 2017.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bonnie.
Robert Cohen is the cellist for the Milwaukee-based Fine Arts Quartet and our regular On That Note contributor. He spoke with Bonnie North.